So we're going to finish this series up today. This series will be talking about these basic devotions that we're doing. What are the things that we should do as believers? And we talked about adoration and worship and scripture reading and prayer. We've talked about fellowship, having a community with each other. And last week we started talking about stewardship. And so it was kind of like a two-parter. Last week we were talking about the stewardship of serving. What does it mean to take our spiritual gifts and use them in the kingdom of God? And then today we're going to wrap up this series talking about giving, the stewardship of giving. And danger! He's talking about, he said the G word, right? Giving. And but I want to just qualify what I want to talk about today. And as like a lot of times people hear that word giving in church, here it comes. Like the pastor's going to ask us for money. And we often almost immediately associate giving with money. Like almost all of us do that. And giving of money in the church and for the kingdom of God is of course very important, and we will be talking about that today. But if you're taking notes, something I want us to understand right from the beginning here is that giving of money is only one way that God has commanded us to give. Giving is more than just about money. And that's what I want to start by talking about today. In the church that I grew up in, First Baptist Church of Salinas, we had a great older gentleman who was a pastor for many, many years. His name was Pastor Fesky. Great man of God. He was just, you know, especially as a little kid, right? You look at him and, you know, he had this really cool gray beard. And in our church, our tradition was that the pastor would always wear a robe when he was speaking. So as a little kid, you know, you just sit there and you're like, here's this guy with this black robe and this big white beard, just a contrast. But he just had this, he was just this guy that had this great big heart. And he was just such a neat guy. And I remember him several occasions talking about the three T's when it came to giving. And all these years later, you know, 30 years later, I still remember him talking about this, the three T's when it came to giving. And here's what he said. When it comes to giving, there's three areas. There's talent, time, and treasures. I don't know if you ever heard that before. Talents, time, and treasures, the three T's. Last week, if you were here, we talked really about the first two of those. We talked about the talents. Like what has God given us, our spiritual gifts? What has he given us in order that we can give back to his kingdom, back to his church, back to his the community in which we live in? And of course, by giving of our talents, almost always that includes our time. Like how much time are we going to give back to him? So the first two we talked about last week. Several years ago, I was talking to a lady who does not go to this church. But I was talking to a lady in a different church I was in. And for many years, she served in the nursery. She was a nursery worker and an older lady. And for years and years and years, she just went in there and she just held babies and changed diapers and did all the kind of stuff you do in a nursery. And she loved it. And she was great at it. And she was like, you know, the one you want to give your baby to, right? And just a great lady. And one day she said, it's my turn to retire. I'm retiring from the nursery, you know. And she probably did need a break, right, after all those years. But it was permanent for her. She's like, I'm done. I'm retiring. I did it. I did my service, and now I'm going to retire. And then in a few months, though, something interesting happened. She re-volunteered for nursery duty, and then she was back in there again. Every week, consistently holding babies and changing diapers and loving those little babies. And this is what she said, and I want to, this is as close as I can remember it in my 45-year-old brain. But let me give you like a pretty close quote here. She said, I sat in the service, you know, while I was retired, I sat in the service and I got some really good teaching. And I went to a Bible study and I got some really good teaching. And then one day it just hit me, this lady. She said, one day it just hit me that almost every time I came to church, I was receiving. She said, that's all I did, was I was receiving. And she said, serving in the nursery was the one main place that I could give of myself in the church. And it compelled her to go back in that ministry. This lady, I know her heart, and I know that she was a regular money giver of the church. So when she said it was the one place I could give, she wasn't not talking about money at all, but she was talking about what? Her gifts, her time, her talents. And I've heard it said, and maybe you have too, that don't ever look for a rocking chair in the church. There's no such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. No matter what age you are, or no matter what skill level you think you have, God has a place for you to serve in His body. We talked all about that last week, and I don't want to re-go into any of that for sake of time today, but I encourage you, don't ever retire serving in the kingdom of God. In the church, we're going to talk about in a minute, shared giving is part of a shared life. If you're part of the body of Christ, you share in life not only with Jesus, but with all a bunch of other believers as well. And so our attitude is not what's yours is mine, like some kind of spiritual communism or socialism. That's not what it is. Our attitude should be what's mine is yours. You see the difference? It's not what yours is mine. It's what's mine is yours. What I have, everything that I have belongs to every one of you. Money, talent, time, that should be our attitude as members of the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 32, the church was just getting started, and we've been talking about this. Thousands of people, literally, thousands of people have come to be believers, coming to the church, right? And then it created a wonderful problem. They're like, oh, great, we got like thousands of new people. The problem is what? Like, what are we going to do with all these people? You know, how are we going to take care of these people? And so the apostles really were feeling like pressure. Like, what are we going to do? How are we going to minister to all these people? First of all, how are we going to, like, a lot of them were poor, you know, types of people. How are we going to take care of them? How are we going to, you know, build this community up? And in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, we read a great little verse. It says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. And so they shared everything they had. Cool. These new believers, right? were meeting together daily. They were sharing everything they had, which certainly included their money and their financial and material blessings, but it also included their giftings. It included their time. They met daily. Did you see all that? It's like those three T's come perfectly together in this verse. As Christians, we share material and financial with the church. We certainly do. But we do that because we also share in a supernatural life with all the other people and members of the body of Christ. Our giving of our talents and our time, as well as our treasures, enables the ministries of the church to thrive and in turn to strengthen us. And this should cause a sense of Christian community and giving that brings us together for a common purpose, a common cause. So giving is more than about just money. Giving to the church strengthens our fellowship in a sense that it weakens selfishness. It takes our eyes off ourselves for a minute. It says, it doesn't say, I want to keep everything for myself. It's the opposite of that. It's like, what I have, I want to give away. Whether that's a gift or whether that's my money, I want to give that away and see what God might want to do with that. So, with that said, that's kind of what we talked about last week. Quick recap. giving of our talent and our time. And now for the rest of our time today, I do want to shift into focus of the third T, and that is giving of our treasures, giving of our money. And with this disclaimer, this is not the part of the series that I start asking you guys to give more money. Okay, it's not like I set this all up and said, okay, I'm going to get them all in with all these spiritual devotions, and now at the end, I'm going to hit them. Now you got to give money so we can do all these things. That's not it. All I want to do, like everything else we've done every single week, is I'm going to present to you principles from the Word of God, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit bring us to the place where if we need to make some changes in our financial lifestyle, then I'm going to let Him do that. I'm not going to do it. It's not my place to do that. Just like it's not my place to tell you to read your Bible more or to pray more or to come to church more. Okay, I can present principles, and then we can allow the Lord to work in our hearts on where He wants to change us. You guys with me on that? Because that's what He does, right? When we give ourselves to Him, He will change us. He's not going to let us remain the same. And if there's things in there that He needs to switch around and reprioritize and change, then He's going to do that. And that's why this consecration week is so important. So we can take like this whole concentrated week and set ourselves apart and say, hey, God, here I am. I want to be more involved in some of these things. How can I do it? Reprioritize my life so that I can serve You better. Okay, so with that said, the first thing that we remember when it comes to giving of our money, and I suppose any kind of giving, is giving is for the worship and the glory of God. I want to want you to look at with a passage with me in Philippians chapter 4. Turn over there. And we're going to get your fingers, get them loose, because we're going to look at a few passages today. We're going to be flipping around. And if you're taking notes, I think some of these are in your notes. I honestly can't even remember at this point. It was so long ago. But these verses might be in your... Somebody confirm or deny that. Are these verses in your... There they are. They're in there. So if I say it and you missed it, you can look them up later. So I wonder if you've ever thought about giving as worship. Have you ever thought about that? Like, giving is a form of worship. And I would say that it is, so much so that God is just as pleased when we worship Him with our giving, our money, as He is when we worship Him with our singing or our praying. And it's a little bit weird in our day and age, because, you know, there's all sorts of different... It used to be like churches would pass the plate around. Like, that's how every church did it, right? Every church I grew up in, that's how they did it. We don't kind of do that anymore. There's all sorts of ways that we give today. You know, there's boxes and over there and there, and sometimes you come to church and you write a check or you put your money in the box. That's one way we give. Other times, you know, you get online and you go onto the computer and you can give online. So there's all sorts of different ways that we can do that. But whatever way it is that you choose to give, giving should be part of your worship. So this passage in Philippians chapter 4, Philippi was a city, it's one of the churches that the Apostle Paul started, right? He was traveling around, and Philippi, he went to Philippi and he began this church. Years later, he wrote a letter to this church, the book of Philippians, and he was, after he got done, almost to the end of the letter, right, he had these high words of praise for the church of Philippi. Look at verse 18. Chapter 4, verse 18, it says this. Paul was praising the church for collecting money for his ministry, and he described their giving like this. He said, it's a fragrant offering. He said, it's an acceptable sacrifice, and it's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God. When we give to God, to the church, to His kingdom, it should be like placing our sacrifice on the altar. This is an Old Testament reference, obviously, because after Christ, we no longer make animal sacrifices. Praise God for that, right? Praise the Lord. But But it's an Old Testament. It means that whatever we're doing, we're taking that and we're spiritually placing it on top of an altar as an act of worship. Not as an act of sacrifice necessarily, but as an act of worship to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, a verse we've talked about recently, says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in the view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And this is your true worship." Giving is worship because when we give to God and we give to His kingdom, we're giving a part of ourselves. Now think about that. We take our wages, in a lot of cases, we take the money we've earned, and we take a part of that and we give it to God. We're giving a part of ourselves to Him. And although it's true that giving to the church, specifically, you know, Pastoral's Bible Church, it goes to pay the rent, and it goes to pay salaries, and it goes to pay our missionaries, and all those things, that's absolutely true, and those are important. We don't want to overlook that. But it's more important to see the act of giving as an expression of our devotion to God. So here's a challenge for you. The next time you give, whatever it is, whatever amount, whatever God's put in your heart to give, the next time you do that, this is what I would encourage you to do. Whether it's drop something in the box on your way in or out of church, or whether or not it's clicking online, or an automatic debit comes out every month, whatever, however it is you give, I would encourage you to do this. The next time you give, just say a little quick prayer. "Thank you, Jesus, for allowing me the privilege of giving to your kingdom today. I'm giving my, just a little tiny part of who I am to you. I just want to worship you with this gift. Amen." Like, cool. Just make it part of your worship and see how that works in your life. See if that kind of changes your heart about giving. You know, and incidentally, that's why we call it the offering box, right? Or that's what in days gone by, we call it the offering plate. You know why? Because we're literally putting our offering, ourselves, into that box. It's a receptacle of the gift that we offer to God, and our giving to God is worship. All right? The second thing to think about is that when we give, we should give as if God already owns everything we own. Why? Because He does. Because He does. We should give as if God already owns everything we own. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 26, and I just put all these verses in my notes for ease for me this morning. But 1 Corinthians 10, 26 says, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it." Paul's quoting a psalm. I think it's Psalm 24, if I remember, or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But God owns everything, including everything we possess. Why? Because He created it all. And you're like, wait a minute, he didn't create my iPhone, right? Or whatever. And you're like, well, you know, okay, whatever, splitting hairs. But you guys get the point. God has created everything, and because of that, everything that we have, everything that we possess, we're just managers of it. We're just stewards of it, stewardship. We're stewards, we're managers of it. We're not really the owner of I don't really own my car. I don't own these clothes I'm wearing. I don't own any of the money in my bank. It's not mine. I'm a steward of my car. I'm a steward of my money. And if we think about it like that, it really will affect and change the way that we give to Him. We need to give as if He already owns everything we have. Now, with that said, God gives us stuff and He wants us to use it. He wants us to enjoy what He gives us. The Father loves to give good gifts to His children. And so He gives us stuff to enjoy. He gives us stuff that we might feel blessed, and we are. But as stewards, we're to remember that everything we have belongs to Him. And that we need to primarily use it for His kingdom. What does that mean? Well, it means that you know, we have a 2005 GMC Yukon, right? It's a great car. We love it. It's got a lot of miles on it. It's still plugging along. But to tell you this, anytime Nick calls me and says, hey, man, we're going on a youth group trip. Can we borrow your Yukon? It sits 9 kids. Like, we could shove 9 youth group kids in there. And we're like, yeah, take it. Use it. Because it's not ours. God gave that to us. And that's just an example, right? You know, hey, God's given us this great, big, beautiful house. I'm just going to use it for hospitality. I'm going to have people over. I'm going to have my neighbors over. I'm going to have a home group over at my house. And I'm just going to use my house to honor the kingdom of God. You know, God's given me a bunch of money in my bank account this month. It's extra. It's left over. I'm going to look for ways to use that money to serve somebody, to buy somebody lunch. To give a little bit more to Operation Christmas Child, whatever it is. You know, I mean, we're stewards, managers of what God's given us. And when we think about that, the personal question, really, that we need to ask ourselves is not how much of my money should I give to God, but rather what? How much of God's money should I keep for myself? And if we view money like that, then it's really going to change the way that we use our stuff. And it's really an act of faith. And some of you are thinking, well, if I give all my money to God, like, I'm not going to have any money to buy food. And I know there's some rational stuff that goes into that, but God always provides, takes care of us. And so in light of all of this, when we give, we should give. And I just have 5 little quick things in your notes, okay? 5 little quick ways. When we give as if God owns everything already, we should give like this. Number one, we should give willingly. These are in your notes, right? Somebody shake your head. Okay, willingly. This is what was going on in Acts chapter 4. All right, so these early believers, it says that they shared everything they had. Not because they had to do it. Nobody was making them do it. In fact, if you read the funny little story in Acts chapter 5 about Ananias and Sapphira, that truth comes out. They didn't have to, like, what they had, they didn't have to do it. But you know, that's a story you need to read on your own if you haven't read it in a while. Do that when you get out of church today. But they did it because they wanted to do it. It's like some people, Eva Simpson, can I get an amen on this? Some people give to God like they give to the IRS after an audit. It's like, oh man, you know, now I got a penalty. I gotta like send my money over to God. Darn it. I was saving that to buy something. Now I gotta give it away. God wants us to enjoy giving. You guys. He wants us to enjoy it. And He wants us to give like we're giving an engagement ring to our fiance. He wants us to give like we're giving a gift to our 4-year-old on Christmas morning. Like he's like, oh, I just can't wait for them to give a little back of all the things they've given to me. We need to give willingly. As believers, when our hearts are united with God, when we're kind of practicing some of these devotions and we're growing and maturing our faith and we're connected to Him and we're connected to others in the kingdom and the body of Christ, then we're going to give willingly. And secondly, we're going to give thankfully. Someone has said there's 3 kinds of giving. Grudge giving, duty giving, and thanksgiving. I wish I made that up. I didn't. That's good though. I had to tell. Grudge giving says, I have to give. It's like the giving to the IRS. I have to give it. Duty giving says what? I ought to give. I should give, right? The Bible tells I should give. I ought to give it. But thanksgiving says I want to give. Just something to think about. Third way that we give is cheerfully. Listen, God doesn't send us a bill, right? I don't spend my week writing out, you know, bills and send them out in the mail to you guys. Okay, Nick, it's your time. Buddy, I'm just picking on you because we're wearing the same shirt. Like, awesome. That shirt is not yours, Nick. It belongs to God. totally lost my train of thought. No. All right. So, Yeah, I mean, like the church doesn't send you a bill, right? It's not, you don't give because like, oh man, Mark, I got my bill from Mark this week. It's time for me to give. That's ridiculous. It's like giving to the body of Christ is not like some kind of 11th commandment, right? Thou shalt give because I'm making you. Our giving should be motivated by how much we love God. Period. Our giving should be motivated. And there's dozens of passages that back up that statement. You can look at it, but let me just read one of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, each person should give as he or she has decided in their heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. Yeah, you've heard that verse before. So we should give cheerfully. We should also give, number four, sacrificially. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 16, 2, Paul says, on the first day of each week, each of you should set aside a portion of the money that you have earned. And I don't know if that's, again, it's not a legalistic command here. He's not saying that you have to give this way. Set it. Like some of you can give once a month. Some of you give every other week, every day, whatever you want to do. But the principle that Paul is trying to teach us here is that every member of the body of Christ, from the wealthiest to the poorest, needs to give something. That's the principle Paul is trying to teach us here. And of course, that doesn't mean that we all give the same amount, okay? Like, that's ridiculous. We don't all give the same amount because God has us all in different places with our finances. All the money he's chosen to give us as stewards ranges, and so we don't give the same amount. What is expected of us is not the equal gifts, but it's equal in sacrifice. Okay, that's what he's trying to say. He says, no matter how much money you have, that doesn't really matter as much as your heart towards giving. That's what matters. And at the risk of sounding redundant, too late, remember that our giving isn't sacrificial unless it's a sacrifice, like we already talked about. We put ourselves on the altar as a living sacrifice, and that should be reflected in our giving as well. Just because we could use our money on something else doesn't mean that we've sacrificed to give, because giving is a sacrifice according to what remains, not according to what is given. So if you give $20,000 a month, or if you give $20 a month, it's not in the amount of money. It's in your heart, and it is in the sacrifice that it took for you to give that. And a fifth one, real quick, is that we need to give generously. Jesus had a lot to say about this, friends. And one place he said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, he said this, "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more." Running over, he says, running over, and poured into your lap. And he says this, Jesus says this, "The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Now that's a crazy, like, that is a crazy giving principle right there. Like, that doesn't make sense in the world's eyes. Like, if you read that to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, they'd be like, what? Like, why are you doing that? You know, save your money and spend it on what you want to buy, right, or whatever. But that's not what Jesus says. He's like, take your money and give it away generously and then see what happens. Because I own everything anyways, and if you do that, watch what I can do for you. If we give to God, he's going to give to us. If we give generously to God, he's going to give generously back to us. Now listen, this could be, listen close, because I think this is my interpretation of this. This could be financial, and it could be a material blessing. It could be. And I think we all know people that are very generous. We would consider maybe them rich types of people, and they're very generous in their giving, and God gives them back more, and they give more, and God gives them more. And so we do see this principle play out in financial, material things, and it definitely includes that, but it's not only that. That's not the only way that God gives back to us. There's many other ways that He's blessed us. The point here is, again, not as much of the money we give, but in our heart, in giving. When we give to God, when we're faithful, when we're generous in our giving, He will be generous back to us. He loves to give good gifts to His children. God doesn't always say that He's going to be generous to us in financial ways. He could be. He does do that. But it's not exclusive to that, because no matter what blessings, financial, material, spiritual, emotional blessings we receive while in this life, they pale in comparison to what? The eternal blessings that God has given us. And you know, it's great. We were talking about in our home group a couple of weeks ago that it says in Ephesians that we are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. That's what the scripture says. And so we got to live our lives like we believe that is true. And we operate based upon, I already possess everything that Jesus wanted to give me. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places already belong to me. And then we live our lives down here on earth, upwards down. Did I say that right, Bruce? Something like that. We live our lives upwards down, not downwards up. And that's what Jesus was teaching right here, I think. I'm excited about that, man. I just want to live my life like that. Jesus, take everything that I have, because I just use it selfishly anyways. Jesus taught in another place. He said, He gave us a faith principle. He said, by faith, we believe that our giving here on earth stores up for us what? Treasures in heaven. I don't know if we can fully understand what that means, or how that even looked, or how, you know, God, like, how He balances that spreadsheet, right? Like, what we give financially, or what we give in our time and our talents, or all those types of ways we give, how He translates that into treasures in heaven. I don't know what that looks like, but I do know this, that those are better than anything I got here, right? That's better than my Yukon or this cool green shirt I'm wearing. It's better than anything we have here on earth. Let's set our minds on things above. Heavenly treasures that we can't even yet comprehend await us in the heavenly places. And here's the principle Jesus is trying to teach us. The more generous we are with our talents and our time and our treasures here on this earth, is the more that we're going to be storing up in heaven for eternity. So we get to really pick, right? God gives us a choice today. We get to pick. We can either store up for ourselves all the stuff on this earth for 70 or 80 years and enjoy it and live in luxury or whatever, or we can say, God, it's all yours. I'm going to give it all back to you. You give me what you want, you think I can handle. The rest is yours to take and use it for everyone. And I'll take the treasures in heaven. Like, it's our choice. We get a pick. And let's be honest for a minute. There's a bunch of people that choose the first option. They're like, I'm living for this world. I'm going to have this, and I'm going to be on the fast track, and then my life's going to be fulfilled. And God's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's really how it works in God's plan. Whew, tired. We're gonna close up with this, with a little bit of a reflection this morning. And I've been thinking about this lately, is that we can sit and learn about these things and then just walk out and our lives are just never changed. And God's like, oh, you learned something, but you didn't really do anything. Or we can learn about these things and we can allow the Spirit to change our lives and we can live a different types of lives. And so I'm going to give us a minute. In a few minutes, we close up. Got some time here. I want to give us some, give us a few minutes to reflect upon some of the things we've been talking about through all this series. And if you've been here, great. If you haven't been here and you're not familiar with all the things we've been talking about, you can just focus on what we've been talking about today, and that's perfectly fine. Because I just want to talk about one more principle, and this applies to giving, but it also applies to every single one of these things we've been talking about here. Let me read a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. It says, there's a group of believers in Corinth, and Paul is praising them for their giving. And again, you can think about it in terms of just giving, like we've been talking about today, or you can think about it in terms of some of these other things here if you want. Here's what he says, "For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but they gave far more. And they did it out of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. And even did more than we had hoped. For the first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do." And it's really that last part that I want to end on this morning. Their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. Everything that we've been talking about today, this morning, about giving, and really any of these other things we've been talking about, if we're not first giving ourselves fully to the Lord, nothing else we do really has any eternal significance. Like, I can give all the money in my bank account, and it really has no eternal significance unless I've first given myself to the Lord. That's what God wants most of all. He wants us. He wants our lives. He wants our hearts. He wants our all. He wants us to willingly give. He wants us to willingly pray. He wants us to willingly worship Him as if we've already given our lives to Him. Listen, we can't buy God's favor or His mercy. We can't buy His love. We can't buy His forgiveness. We can't even buy His blessing, like we were talking about a minute ago. No amount of money can purchase our ticket to heaven. No amount of hours spent serving in the church can get us into heaven. No amount of reading our Bible can get us into heaven. No amount on our knees in prayer can ever get us into heaven. Those things are great. There's things we do, but they do not earn our salvation. I want to be so clear on this. I want you all to understand this. Whether you've been a believer for 50 years or maybe you're just beginning out in your relationship with Jesus, you have to understand, and I have to understand this principle right here, that until a person comes to Jesus for salvation, that Jesus' death bought us a pardon from our sins, Jesus' resurrection provided eternal life, He by His blood that was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, He those of us who were filthy and dirty in the sight of God have been made clean and washed in the blood of Jesus. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us a life to live for His glory while on earth and into eternity. Until a person believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, until a person comes to salvation in Jesus, giving or any other spiritual devotion that we set ourselves to have no eternal value. And once a person has come to know Jesus, once a person believes in their heart that Jesus is Lord, once they confess with their mouth and they become saved, once a person comes to Jesus, we must not separate our giving or our worship or our prayer or our Bible reading, we must not separate those things from living out our lives that are fully dedicated and devoted to the Lord. We've placed our lives fully on the altar. Here I am, Jesus. You do what you want. That's hard. Is it hard? Do you think that's hard to live that way? It is. It is. But with His help, with the Spirit of God, the power of God living inside of us, and with the book He wrote and gave to us to follow and to live out, we have everything, we're equipped with everything we need to do just that, to give our lives as living sacrifices. And I want to end with a quote from one of my favorite Bible teachers. He says this: as followers of Jesus, we must put ourselves, that is our rights and our time and our preferences and our choices and our all, in the offering box, and not our money alone. And so here's the reflection that I would ask you guys. Take a minute and think about this question. Have I given myself fully to the Lord? Have I put myself on the altar and said, here's my life, I'm a living sacrifice? And if you have, ask the Lord, what do you want me to do now? Now that I've surrendered to you, how can I better serve you in your kingdom? If you haven't, okay, if you haven't put your all, your life, you've given yourself fully to the Lord, if you pray and you know that you haven't, you know there's parts of your life, there's areas, there's finances, or there's material things, or there's some kind of secret emotional or hidden sin that you just love so much you don't want to give it up. If there's part of you, any part of you, that you haven't given over to the Lord this morning, ask Him why. Why haven't I done that? Because everything that you have to give me, God, is far better than anything I could manufacture on my own. And then take a minute and see what the Holy Spirit might teach you today. You got it? So do those two things. Ask those things of God. Have you given yourself to the Lord? If yes, how can I better serve you? If not, what do I need to give you in order to do that? And then in a minute, we're going to sing one more song, and then we're going to close our service with a quick time of prayer for one of our missionaries in training who has left us to go to school. So let's take a time of reflection now.